Well, good morning, Metropolitan. If you would, stand to your feet and grab a hymn book, and let's turn to page 243. We'll sing the first, second, and last verse. Sing with me.
I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, I will come to thee. I am resolved to go to the Savior, leaving my sin and strife. He is the true one, he is the just one, he hath the words of life. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee.
On the last,
I am resolved to enter the kingdom, leaving the paths of sin. Friends may oppose me, foes may beset me, still will I enter in. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother John. Amen. No use lingering. We might as well go right on, serve our great God, our King. It's a privilege to be here this morning with you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, our visitors and friends. Good to see you this morning. Trust God's going to meet with us in a very special and powerful way. And as I look around, I do see some visitors that I don't recognize, and we are just thrilled you're here with us at Metropolitan. It's always a great honor to welcome visitors into our services, and trust that we'll be a blessing to you along the way. Well, what we want to do right now is take a couple minutes, shake some hands, and welcome each other. Church family, make sure you welcome our visitors.
As you make your way back to your seats, if you'll remain standing, let's turn to page 222. 222, I sing the mighty power of God. We'll sing all three verses, okay? On the first,
I sing the mighty power of God that made the mountains rise, that spread the flowing seas abroad and built the lofty skies. I sing the wisdom that o'er sing the goodness of the Lord that filled the earth with food. He formed the creatures with his word and then pronounced them good. Lord, how thy wonders are displayed where'er I turn my eyes. If I survey the ground I tread or gaze upon the sky, there's not a plant or flower below but makes thy glories known. And clouds arise and tempests flow by order from thy throne, while all that borrows life from thee is ever in thy care. And everywhere that man can be, thou God art present there.
Good singing. Please sit down. would, please stand with us once more and turn to page 56.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. But I love that old cross where the dearest hand passed for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last fly me down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
On the last,
to the old rugged cross I will ever be true. Its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll change.
Gentlemen, if y'all take your places, we'll get ready to take this morning's announcement. Yeah, we'll take some morning announcements and give the offering. Here we go. Take care of that. We're going to have a college and career scavenger hunt this Saturday. See Brother Andrew Martin about that. Next Sunday is our fifth Sunday service for the month. And it's going to be a true potluck meal. I like the true potluck ones, which means that the church is not going to provide the meats. Y'all get to bring it all. It's the good stuff. Everybody that tries out, do the next, and there's ladies, don't worry about it. There's zero calories in this stuff. It's all nothing but pure flavor. Looking forward to it. Right afterwards, the kiddos, we're going to go do some frisbee golf right after the service next week. See Miss Sandra. She has got all the information about smoke on the mountain or wildfire in the valley or something like that. There's a sign-up sheet in the back. And today is the deadline for that. Is that correct, Miss Sandra? I don't see her back there. There it is. Today's the deadline for that? Okay, she's got a sign-up sheet for that. And see her about that. Miss Sherry Davidson has also got the stuff for the Jerusalem tour at the IMAX. Please see her. She's got a sign-up sheet in that. The ladies' retreat coming up in September 7th. Windows of the Heart is the subject. Did I say 7th? I'm sorry. Come borrow somebody's glasses. The 27th, and the Windows of the Heart is the theme of it. They've got a list of stuff that need to borrow or beg or buy or whatever we can do. I do have an extra truck window I'm going to bring up here. They're going to have a brief meeting right afterwards for this. So please see Miss Marcia right here, right here for that. So Brother Wayne, would you come pray for us? I done goofed this thing up so bad.
Let's pray. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for the blessing of being able to be here this morning. Lord, we thank you for the expectation that you'll meet with us. And pray, God, that you'd just put your hand upon us. Help us, Lord, to draw near to you. Help us to seek your face. Help, Lord, that those that cannot be here, you'd be with them, bless them where they are. Lord, I just pray that you'd magnify your name in our midst this morning. And Lord, just glorify the name of Jesus. Thank you for him. Thank you for all that you do for us every day. And we praise you for what you're going to do here this morning. Bless the gift and the giver. And we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, ladies. What a privilege to be able to say, I am His and He is mine. Belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, if you would, you can be turning to Luke chapter 15. The Gospel of Luke in chapter 15. Return again today to our study on the shepherd. Take a break once in a while from that, as the Lord directs and leads, but we return this morning talking about the great shepherd of the sheep, looking in these days at his relationship to his sheep. If you would stand with me in reverence to the Word of God, we'll begin reading there in verse 3 of Luke chapter 15. It says, And he, Jesus, spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. When he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. Jesus goes on then to say, I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons, which need no repentance. Father, we bow before you, and once again we would simply ask for your great mercy. Lord, we realize that without you we can do nothing. Without your presence and power here today, this is of no eternal consequence whatsoever. But Lord, that you might be pleased to enter and take your word and open it to our hearts, illuminate our minds, and indeed give liberty of lip to the preacher to declare exactly what you would have said today. And Father, I'd pray as well that as you would speak to us, you would deal with hearts and exactly their need. Father, I don't know that there may be folks here today that have never placed their faith, their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Father, please, Lord, would you be pleased to hold up your Son in that beautiful, glorious way that he might draw savingly, beautifully, eternally to himself. But for every one of us here that are saved, I pray, Father, that we might fall all the deeper in love with this great shepherd, the Lord, our shepherd. We thank you. We give you glory. We give you honor. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Of course, you may be seated. In our last time that we were looking at the Lord Jesus Christ as the shepherd of his sheep and his relationship to the sheep, we saw that it was the shepherd that finds the sheep. It's the shepherd that goes out. He says, I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. You see, it's a shepherd that births the sheep. He says, I am come that they may have life and might have it more abundantly. It's the shepherd that feeds the sheep. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. And beyond that, he leads the sheep. The scriptures say that he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him. What a tremendous relationship that we have to our shepherd, and our shepherd has to us. And as the ladies just sang, what an honor, what a great privilege it is to be able to say, he is my shepherd this morning. Well, there's a few more things I'd like us to see concerning his relationship to his sheep. And throughout this study, as we have from the very beginning, we're relating, we're likening that ancient Oriental shepherd to his sheep and how he tended and cared for the sheep. But this morning, I want us to see as we begin the shepherd's embrace. We'll really look at several aspects of that. I think you understand when we read here from the Gospel of Luke in chapter 15, and this tender, this lovely embrace of the shepherd.
looking at that again, in verse 4, we see the shepherd's pursuit of the lost sheep. And it says, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost? In seeing that shepherd's great concern for every one of his sheep, he'll do what he can to secure the flock and then go on to pursue that one that was lost until indeed he find it. We see as well the shepherd's pleasure in the sheep, and it should say in the rescued sheep. In verses 5 and 6, it says, when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I found my sheep which was lost. Oh my, we see a personal pleasure that the shepherd takes when he had find or rescued that sheep. See him placing it on his shoulder, and he says he rejoiceth. But then as he makes his way back to the flock and to the house, he calls his friends, he calls his neighbors together, and he wants to publicly rejoice over that sheep. But it goes beyond that even. And in verse 7, the Lord Jesus wants us to get the message here. He says unto us that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner. Over one sinner that repenteth. Beloved, I'm thankful that we have a God that cares for every one of his sheep, as we'll see this morning. We have a shepherd that is personally involved with his sheep. And we notice that not only is it a personal and a public, we see there's a glorious rejoicing over a lost sheep. Can you imagine it? Can you imagine it? That everyone in this room today that is saved, that knows the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, that moment, and remain mindful as you think back to that day, that time when you were saved, that at the moment you put your faith, your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, heaven broke forth in joy. I mean, that boggles my mind, that the angels of glory and the host of heaven might rejoice over Jim Turner coming to Christ. But beloved, hallelujah, that's exactly what the Word of God tells us. Oh my, what a wonderful thing it is. But in all of this, beloved, there's no question that we can sense the love of God for His sheep. That our God loves His sheep. The shepherd loves them with that very, very special love. There's no other relationship between man and any domesticated animal that is quite like the relationship of the shepherd to his sheep. Listen to what the prophet Isaiah says in chapter 40 in verse 11. It says this of him, our wonderful shepherd. He says, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. Now listen to this. He shall gather the lambs with his arm. He shall carry them in his bosom. Speaking of God's relationship with his sheep, that he'd gather the lambs up in his arm, draw them close to his bosom, and shall gently lead those sheep that are with young. What a beautiful, beautiful description. Those words describe a relationship of tenderness, a relationship of love. Isaiah describes a very involved love. These things describe the actions of a shepherd that loves his sheep in a very special way. Now, we view all of these things, and again, we repeat this over and over, but we need to keep it tied together. We view this picture from the backdrop of John chapter 10 and verse 11, where there it declares that the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And it's his love. His love for the sheep that causes him to not... It's a continual thing. Thank God for the King James Bible. That giveth means it's a continual giving, an ongoing giving, a giving that is without end. Your shepherd loves you in such a way. We see, beloved, from the scriptures that the shepherd's love for the sheep was, now listen, personal. A personal love. We need to stress this point. The shepherd loves each and every one of his sheep in particular. It's good. He didn't just love the flock. He loves his flock. Christ loves his church. But he loves you and I as individuals. He loves us personally and individually. Hey, we enjoy the benefits of someone that loves us in such a way. Loves us personally. The Apostle Paul understood this. He understood it very well, how the shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, loves us. He declared, Paul declared to the churches of Galatia, chapter 2 and verse 20, speaking of him, speaking of how Christ loves us. He said, "He who loved me, and gave his life for me." It's a personal thing, beloved. It's a personal thing. Dear one, Christ loves each and every one of us in a very personal and particular way. Every loving parent understands that. Every loving parent understands that love for their children. They understand that their love is suited and designed, might we say, fitted individually for their children. Now, growing up, I never had the slightest indication that my mom and my dad loved any one of us five any differently. It was my older brother, then myself, and then right slap dab in the middle, my sister, and then two more brothers on the end of that thing. But I never sensed that my mother loved any one of us more than the other. We all enjoyed her love. But along the way, my mother and father's love for my sister was expressed and manifested differently. My mother loved fixing up my sister Rebecca's hair, you know, curling all up, putting them pretty bows in there and the dresses and all that good stuff and shine those pretty patent leather shoes. All I can say is, fortunately, she manifested her love to her sons differently. Huh? Hey, she loved us all. My dad loved us all. But they loved us individually as well. And our great God, listen to this. If you're saved this morning, God loves you personally. There's a personal, loving relationship between you and your shepherd. The Lord, your shepherd. But also, secondly, the shepherd's love for sheep was active. I should say is active. The shepherd's love for his sheep is an active love. Because the shepherd loves his sheep, he acted upon that love. You know, love that isn't acted upon is kind of useless. In reality, because the shepherd loved his sheep, he acted upon that love. And everything he did for his sheep was an expression of his love for them. You know, we need to praise God today that he acted upon his love for us. He acted upon that love. His great love for the sheep. Now listen to this. His great love for the sheep caused him to take the initiative with his sheep. Now you stick with me on this. I'm thankful that my shepherd didn't wait for me to come to him. I'm thankful that he went after this lost sheep and found him. In fact, as the passage says, he goes after that which is lost until he found it. Oh, aren't you thankful? Aren't you thankful that, you know, I've been reading this little book on the sheepdogs. And it's going to be interesting. You know, I'm trying to figure out just how to tie it in to some of this. But, you know, I liken the Holy Spirit of God in his work in our lives, hey, is that sheepdog. You know, that sheepdog, he would answer the commands of the shepherd. He would act on the... In fact, a well-trained sheepdog, all the shepherd had to do was move his hand a certain way, and that dog would be right after the job. He'd be right after fulfilling the commands of his shepherd. And I'm thankful that the Holy Spirit of God, the hound of heaven, answered the commands of the Father God and came after me and rounded me up and brought me into the fold where God was pleased to save me to himself. God, hey, listen, God didn't wait for you to love him. Oh my. 1 John tells us that we love him. Why? Because, beloved, he first loved us. And he's pleased to shed forth his love upon us in our lives. Hey, his love for us is not only personal, it's an active love. He acted upon his love for us. But third, we also see, and I think you understand this, that his love was costly. The shepherd's love for the sheep was costly. And we're going to look at this from a little different perspective than we might normally. But the shepherd's love for a sheep caused him to live a sacrificial life. You couldn't be a shepherd, a good shepherd, and not live a sacrificial life. The life of a shepherd was very costly to him. It cost him, beloved, to care and to meet the needs of the sheep. He spent long periods of time away from his home. And he spent a great deal of that time alone. Alone. There was great physical demands upon the shepherd to meet the needs of his sheep. Dangers. He faced dangers untold in caring for the sheep that were in his care. His constant vigilance in watching over the sheep cost him time, cost him his sleep, cost him his strength. And what a picture it is of our good shepherd, is it not? And how he was pleased to leave his home in glory, left his father's house to come to do for us, to come and to seek and to save his lost sheep. Oh my, he came, beloved. He didn't come with a great entourage, did he? He came alone. And he spent that time away from his place, the place that he deserved. And beloved, he gave everything. And we'll see this more in a moment. He laid down everything for us. The cost was great. Remember what we said a moment ago from John chapter 10 and verse 11. The good shepherd does what? Giveth his life for the sheep. He gave his life for the sheep. You want to know what love is? This is in here free. You want to know what love is? Just look at Jesus. Just look at Jesus. He's the definition of love. The Lord Jesus Christ is God's definition of love for us. Be mindful of this in your relationships and, of course, your relationship with God. True love gives its best. True love gives its all. Certainly, that's what the Lord Jesus Christ did. Gave it all. And we understand that God the Father gave His best. What does John 3:16 tell us? For God, what? So loved the world that He gave His best. His only begotten Son. That's what true love is. You want to understand love, just consider that. Jesus, this is good, this is important. Jesus did not give us an expression of His love. You mess up, fellas. You might think, I need to make a good expression of my love to my sweetie. And so you stop at the florist on the way home. Flowers are an expression of our love. That's not how the Lord Jesus did it. He gave Himself. Jesus gave Himself as the expression of His love. It's a good lesson to us, fellas. You want to show your wife you love her? You just give her you. You give her yourself. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it says, but God commendeth, God manifested, God expressed His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The expression, the grand expression of His love. Our shepherd's love was very costly. But then fourthly, we see the shepherd's love for his sheep. Now listen, I'm not playing around here. The shepherd's love for his sheep was priceless. I'm not trying to contradict myself or repeat myself, so stick with me. Christ's love for his sheep was without self-interest. His love for the sheep had no selfish motive about it. Jesus was not trying to get something or gain something for himself. In some selfish way. His love, beloved, did not have a price tag on it. Huh? There were no conditions on Christ's love for you and for me. You find no indication in the scriptures where God would describe His love as, I will love you if. No. We try to love like that. We try to love like the Lord Jesus Christ loves, but in all honesty, we're not able. We cannot. We could. Let me ask you, when we think of that, what is the best we can give? Our best, beloved, is marred by our imperfections. It's marred by my selfish motives. But not so with the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was that perfect, beautiful love. Let me ask you, what can we add to Him? What is it about Jim Turner that God needs? In what way can I fulfill some capacity in Him? No. His love, His priceless love, should be a tremendous word of encouragement and assurance to us. His love is not something that is stirred by emotion. You know, when we love, it is always initiated by something, unfortunately, that we see in that other person. Right? Something draws our attention in some way, in some capacity. And I'm not just talking about looks. Don't you be putting me there. Something drew us to that person. But let me ask you, what was it that drew Christ to you? Yeah. There's nothing about me. There's nothing about me. No, beloved. He set his love upon you while you were yet a sinner. Nothing about you that enamor any emotion in our God. Only a shepherd. Now listen, only a shepherd that has completely committed his life, or excuse me, his love to the sheep could act in such a way. There's no way. There's no way we can determine the value of the great price Christ paid for us. How do we put a price on that? His love for his sheep is priceless. Costly, but without price. But then the last of these points concerning his love, his relationship of love. The shepherd's love for his sheep is everlasting. It's everlasting. Oh, my hope, I'm praying God will help us get our mind around this. God never knew a time in the past where he didn't love. Did you hear that? God never knew a time in the past when he did not love. Nor will there ever be a time in the future where he will not love. Now listen to this. In Jeremiah chapter 31, in verse 33, God declares, I have loved you with an everlasting love. His love is everlasting. Our great God is an eternal God. We understand that. He's eternal. He's infinite. There's no measure to him. And all of his attributes are the same. And because he's an eternal, infinite God, so is his love. His love is an eternal and infinite, boundless love. His love is forever. Again, we can learn from that. We can learn from that. Paul asks the question. He wrote to the Roman church and he asked them the question in Romans chapter 8 and verse 35. He says, who or what can separate us from the love of Christ? What can separate us from the love of Christ? It's an important question. Many have struggled with that very question for all these centuries. Many have struggled with it. Well, don't you understand, preacher? There's some, you know, we can along the way mess up and disqualify us. What qualified you for the love of Christ? Someone will say that. What qualified you for the love of Christ? Just what was it that you did to deserve his love? Huh? We talked about that old saying a few weeks ago where the old timer said, "It concerning his salvation, I did my part and God did his part." And they said, well, just what was your part? And what was God's part? He said, well, I did the sinning part and God did the saving part. Huh? It's as simple as that. I never did a thing to deserve God's love. Rather, beloved, I don't deserve anything but his wrath. I deserve his judgment. I deserve to be cast in the pit from the get-go. God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I love God this morning. Why? Because he first loved me. What are you saying, preacher? Simple as I can get it. This might not be theologically right, but all I know is that God set out loving me to himself. Huh? He wooed me by his love. Oh my, I read those gospels before I was saved. Read those gospels, and I was overwhelmed that Brother Alan Little was, before we went out visiting the other night, was going around the room asking folks how you got saved and how you got saved. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking about that night. And I remember sitting there reading in the Gospels and coming to the place. You know, I went through that Gospel of John and came back and was starting to read it over again. And Marcia and I, when we was first saved, we had this, and there was a talking about this chair when it disappeared. But I was sitting in this old, kind of overstuffed yellow chair. And that night, man, I just couldn't get away from it. Why? Now listen, why would God love me? Couldn't be beyond that question. Nobody knew me, and this ain't grammar right, like me. Couldn't get over it. Why would he love me? And I've told you this before, but I slipped out of that yellow chair, got down on my knees for the first time in my life. I never prayed. I got on my knees, and you know what came to my mind? Some theological truth? No. Now what? You know, the only thing I knew between my heart and head was, Jim Turner, you're a mess and you need God. Yes. I knew that much. That isn't much, is it? And I just said, God, help me. Now, I don't know if this is a good sinner's prayer or not, but it's all I knew to pray. God, if you'll change my life, I'll live for you. There wasn't nobody there to put words in my ears and go, say this and follow that, repeat after me. I didn't have none of that. All I knew was, I needed God. Pulled myself up from in front of that yellow chair. Went back to the bedroom and talked to Marcia a little bit, had to wake her up. But you know what did it? Didn't. I just couldn't get over. Why? Someone. Why God would love me enough to lay down his life for me. What a shepherd. What a shepherd. The good, you know why that verse means so much to me? The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And that love that caused him to give his life will take you all the way to glory.
Yes, it will.
What, Paul asked, will separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus? He answered the question. And this I can sum up about four verses there in one word. Nothing. Nothing can ever, past, present, future, heaven or hell, separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. He loves you.
Amen.
Oh my. What a love. What a love, brother. He loves you. Wow. Dear one, are you saved? Are you saved this morning? Do you know the shepherd? If you can't tell, I can commend him to you. He's a good shepherd.
Yes.
He's a good shepherd. His love for you is a personal love. His love for you is a costly love. Priceless love. His love for you is an everlasting love. And I'd ask you, plead with you, trust him today. Why? Why would you leave this church house without Christ as your shepherd? Don't. And if you're here this morning and you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior, I just plead with you, please fall in love with him. Love him. And I know this old flesh fights us. I know that the world is against us. And I know Satan doing everything he can to trip us up. Oh, just fall in love with Jesus. Love him with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. And I guarantee you, all the other struggles in this old world will fall into insignificance. They'll all fall into place when we love him right. Let's stand together, beloved. Father, thank you today for your son. Father, I thank you for giving your best for us. And Lord, as we pray, all I know to do is to ask you to enter in and do what you'd be pleased to do. Meet the need, Father, whatever it is. But I don't know that within this room there might be this one or that one that doesn't know Christ. Father, I'm not here to try to be the Holy Spirit or persuade or push anyone to do anything. But I'd pray, Father, that you would do as you did in my heart those many years ago. Would you be pleased to make your love so real, so beautiful, so precious? Folks within this room without Christ would, oh Lord, even today, cry out to you. Save me, Lord. Be merciful to me. Lord, I pray, oh my, for everyone within this room as well that can call the Lord their shepherd. Please, Lord, help us to rejoice in him. Oh, Lord, thank you for that day when you sent your holy hound after me, found me, brought me to yourself. And as the picture is, placed me upon your shoulders, Lord. Carry us back to your house, rejoicing, Father, not just with the neighbors, but the very courts of heaven rang with joy. Thank you. Thank you for this love that you've shown to us. And Lord, again, oh Lord, might we love you as you've loved us. In Jesus' name, for Jesus' glory and honor we pray. Amen. Amen.